How you guys doing? Good, good, good. Awesome. Isn't it great to worship in the house of the Lord? I just always marvel at the fact that that brothers and sisters in Christ can come together. We can come together and be in unity and just worship God, where he says he inhabits the praises of his people. And I marvel at that sometimes. It's just amazing to hear you guys sing, which is a whole lot better than I sing. And it's just great for you guys to be here and worshiping. Amen? Amen. Well, for those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor Eddie. I'm one of the pastors here at Rev City Church. And I'm so excited to be able to continue the series Legacy. And today, this morning, I want to speak about calling. All right, so if you have your Bibles there, turn to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be there in chapter 1 here in just a little bit. Before we do that, I want to just begin our message and share some things with you. And then we'll get to 2 Timothy in just a moment. One thing that I believe about every person in here is that God has placed a calling on your life. No matter who you are, no matter how old, how young, no matter where you might be in your faith journey, God has placed a call on your life. And called, the word called in the Greek is the word kaleo. Say kaleo. And as you look through the scriptures, you'll see that the call, the kaleo of God, has many facets. Now, there's also a word a name for the word called in the Old Testament, and it's Hebrew, and the word is kara. Say kara. Kara means to name, and to name, related to kara, means to call into being or to make, to create. Make sense? Okay, three of you got that one. Okay, we're gonna expand then. Okay, I'm gonna give you an example of scripture. I'm gonna explain to you how that word kara in the Old Testament is called, but it means to name and then by name to create. And here's what that means. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, 5 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called, he called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." So he separated darkness from light, and he said, "I'm going to call you light, I'm going to call you darkness." He called them. And by calling them that, he created day. That makes sense? It makes sense? Okay. Listen, we'll get out of here a lot sooner if you start agreeing with me, okay? But I got all day, people. All day. Let me give you another scripture, okay? Genesis chapter 35, 9-12. Another example. God appeared to Jacob again. Now, let me stop there real quick. He appeared to him again because he already appeared to him once before. When Jacob was in the wilderness, he decided he was tired, he was going to lay down, and he laid his head on the rock, which in and of itself was prophetic. He laid his head on the rock. And in that moment, he had a dream. And he saw a ladder extending from earth to heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending down. Now, we all know that if you study the scriptures, it's a prophetic picture of Jesus. Jesus is a ladder. He tells the disciples later on, he says, "You're going to see angels and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." And so he has his dream, and he says, "God, man, is surely in this place." So he had a visitation with God at one time. Fast forward a little bit later, and he has another visitation. And God says, he calls to Jacob, and he says, he came from Padan Aram, and he blessed him. God blessed Jacob, and God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but no longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel is what your name shall be. So you shall be called," so he called his name Israel. Now, again, call is to name, kara, and to create. Listen, it says right here, and in verse 11, "And God said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." His name was Jacob. And God says to him, "Your name is Jacob, but I'm going to change the name, and you're now going to be called Israel, Israel. I'm going to call you Israel." And out of that name, calling him, he created a nation, the nation of Israel. Are you with me? Yes, you're with me, right? In faith, I'm believing that for you guys. When God calls something, He creates something out of the call. That's why it's so important. That's why I tell people all the time when I minister to them in the area of freedom and deliverance and those kind of things, is that you got to be careful what you speak, what you call yourself, or what you call others, or what others call you. Because so many times what we're careless with our words, if we're honest. And maybe you look in the mirror and you say, oh, wait, you're so ugly, or you're so skinny, or you're so fat. We begin to curse ourselves. And when you begin to call something, you're creating something with your words, because words have creative ability. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So when God has placed a call on your life, he's calling you something, he's giving you a name, and then he's going to create something out of what he's called you. All day, people, I got all day. Let me give you some other examples here. In Isaiah chapter 62, he's speaking about Israel now. He's called his name, he's changed his name. He says, the nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. There's another name coming. If you read the scriptures on, he gives them a bunch of different names that he's calling Israel now. Revelation chapter 2, speaking of you and I, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Tell the one who conquers. Let me stop right there. This is about you. This is about you. To the one who conquers. And here's what a conqueror looks like. It's a follower of Jesus that holds fast to their faith even against death and the power of their foes through temptation and through tribulation and persecution. That's what a conqueror is, a follower of Christ. He said, to that conqueror, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on it. That stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. Now you have to understand in scripture, the stone is significant. But in the Old Testament, when they would have a trial, if the person was found guilty of their sin or the crime that they committed, the jury would return with black stones. And that means you were found guilty of your sin. But when he was found innocent, they would return with white stones. That means they were clean. They were set free. And that's a picture of you and I. At one time before Jesus entered into our life, we had a bunch of black stones against us. Amen? But then God came into our life. And through his son, Jesus Christ, redeemed us. Jesus was called into this earth to redeem you and I. And now we're given a new stone, a white stone, with a name that only God knows and that we'll know at some point. Amen? Isn't that cool? God is amazing. He's amazing, and you guys don't even know it very much right now. No, really, here's the thing. A lot of you have accepted that call. You've accepted the call of God. You've placed your faith in Jesus, and you have found forgiveness for your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ and through repentance. You have joined God's family. Isn't that a good thing? See, the body of Christ, the followers of Jesus as a whole, as a community, in this room, we are called the called out ones, the ecclesia of God, the body of Christ. Those who are called by God are first chosen. They're given through salvation. Then we're justified through salvation, and we're glorified through salvation. But there may be some of you, and as there is in churches all over the country, that are still weighing the options, still considering whether to answer the call to Jesus. Perhaps maybe for the first time you're hearing God's word preached, and in your heart you're getting a sensation of God's love. Or maybe it happened through worship. Let me tell you something right now. Responding to the call of God's life, God that has on your life, to enter into a relationship with him through Jesus Christ is the best decision you will ever make. Period, end of story. But there's other facets to the call that God places on every person's life. You know that God has called you into ministry? You're looking at me going, who, me? Yes, you. God has called you into ministry. And you look back at me and you say, who, me? And I say, yes, you. And you say, but Eddie, I'm not a pastor. I'm not called to go into the mission field. I'm not a missionary. But God has placed a call on your life. But Eddie, I'm not even a leader in the church. Yeah, I know. But God has put a call on your life. The moment that you gave your life to the Lord, not only were you called, but you received a calling. That first calling was to obedience. The scriptures say that we're supposed to tell everybody about Jesus. And then once we tell them about Jesus, we're supposed to lead them to the Lord, and they surrender their lives to Jesus. And he says, then what? Then tell them to be baptized. We're called to obedience. And what I tell people is, listen, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you've not been water baptized after that decision that you've made to surrender to Jesus Christ, then you're not being obedient. Be obedient and get water baptized. Because if you won't do the first thing that God has called you to do after you've received salvation, you're probably not going to do the second or the third thing that he's called you to do. So we're called to obedience. We're called to follow after what God has told us to do and to be water baptized. Then we're called to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But he's not only called you to be baptized and filled, then he's called you to be a part of his kingdom, and he's called you to extend his kingdom. See, Jesus calls his followers first to himself, and then he calls them to begin to grow and extend his kingdom, his legacy. A legacy of leading others to him, to eternal life. A legacy of leading others to find peace, to find fellowship, to find service, and to find, yes, maybe even suffering. We're called to the ministry. And part of that ministry, we're also called to discipleship. First for ourselves, but then to others. To disciple everyone, everywhere, and in everything. Everyone that surrenders their life to Jesus Christ needs to be discipled. You need to find yourself being discipled, and then you need to disciple others, everyone, everywhere, meaning not just in the four walls of this church, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your schools, in your family. We should be discipling others as we are discipled, and then in everything. Some of us need to be discipled in how to have a marriage, and we're having a conference this week that you can attend and be a part of being discipled. Others need to be discipled in the area of finances and what it means to give and what it means to sacrificially give. Others need to be discipled in how to raise their children. Others need to be discipled in the tenets of the faith. Whatever it is, in everything, everywhere, all the time, everyone gets discipled. The legacy of calling is a natural and the right purpose and response for the lordship of Jesus in our lives. Amen? Ephesians 2 says this way, just to prove me. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us to do beforehand. God has work for you to do. You're called into the ministry. There are needs he wants you to meet, people he wants you to love, truth that he wants you to speak, families that he wants to heal, souls he wants to save, and he wants to operate first in you and then through you because he's called you. See, one thing that every person who has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ has in common is that God has placed a call on their life. I told you at the beginning of the message to turn into 2 Timothy, and we're going to start there in chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And he starts this, for this reason. Let me stop there real quick. For this reason. What is the reason that Paul is getting ready to explain this passage of scripture to Timothy? Well, let's back up just a little bit. I'm going to tell you why. Because of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. He saw a legacy of faith in grandma and mom. And he saw that legacy and he said, I'm going to speak to that legacy of faith. And for this reason, Timothy, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God that which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but a power of love and of self-control. He said, there's a legacy in you. I see it. Your grandmother and your mother had it. And I know you have it. And I want to encourage you to fan that thing into flame. He said, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to this holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. There's so much in that passage of scripture. for this reason, the reason of legacy in his family. Stir that gift up, that fan, that ember that's burning into a flame again. And he says, you're called to a holy calling. You're called today to a holy calling. And this is my favorite part of this passage of scripture. He says, because of his own purpose and grace, God's own purpose and grace, which he gave to us. God's purpose was to save us, and grace was extended so that we might receive that salvation. But then that same purpose and grace that we received, he's now given to us to help give to others. That's the call. Isn't that awesome? And everybody said amen. We got to fan into flame that fire that we had once. Now, when my son Camden was younger, he was in scouting. He was a Cub Scout, and he's a Weeblo, and then he was a Boy Scout. And I'd been a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout before as well. And we used to camp a lot during those years when we were in scouts together. And if you've ever been camping, you probably know what it's like. You got your campfire, your tents, everything set up, and then that evening you're going to cook dinner. So you light up a big campfire, you're cooking your food, you know, you're roasting the marshmallows, you're making the s'mores, you're doing all of those things that you need to do. And then it's time for everybody to go to bed, and it's like herding cats to get a bunch of scouts to do stuff. And you got the scouts finally into their tents, you put out the fire, and then you go to bed if you're lucky. And then you sleep as well as you can. And if you've ever been on a scouting trip with a bunch of boys, you know, you got three or four of them in your tent. They haven't bathed in probably 48 hours. It's very difficult to find sleep because of the smell. But eventually you pass out of sheer exhaustion. And you wake up in the morning and the fire's gone. There's just ash there. But if you get to poke around a little bit, you usually find a burning ember. And the scouts will get some twigs. And they'll get some sticks and they'll put it on that burning ember. And then they go, you begin to blow on that thing. And what happens? Fans into flame again. Fire begins to rise up again. And guess what? You're having breakfast before too long. See, what Paul is telling Timothy, when he tells him to fan that thing back into a flame again, he's like, you have a gift from God. You've been called, but that thing is kind of waning just a little bit. So begin to get that fuel. Begin to fan that flame again. You see, just like us, Timothy knew he had a calling on his life, but something happened where that fire, that passion, maybe that intensity had kind of died down just a little bit. Maybe you find yourself in that place today. At one point, months ago, maybe years ago, you had passion, you had commitment, you had zeal. But today, when it comes to living out that exciting faith, that fire's gone down just a little bit. Maybe, just maybe, you're going through the motions. You know, you get up, you read the Bible, check. You come to church on Sunday, check. But there's not a whole lot else going on. There's no passion, there's no zeal. Listen to me, deep down, I believe there's still an ember. The fact that you're here today tells me there's an ember. It's proof that there's a fire waiting to be rekindled again. And what I'm here to tell you is today we're being called to begin to fan that ember until we see the flame come alive. Let's look at the passage again that we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And see some of the obstacles that keep us, or that can keep us from fanning that flame. Keep us from rekindling that ember. Obstacles that keep us from fully responding to the call of God that he's placed on our lives. And the three obstacles begin with this one, fear. Okay, first one is fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and of self-control, a sound mind. But fear prevents us from stepping into our calling sometimes. Have you ever heard of the phrase paralysis by analysis? When fear kind of comes over and you're thinking about sharing your faith, you're thinking about walking out your calling, and all of a sudden you say to yourself, well, what if I begin to speak about God and they say this? or what if this happens? Or what if they ask me a question that I don't know how to answer? What if they tell me what book in the Bible that was, and I don't even know what the book of the Bible is? And you get paralyzed. Fear overtakes you, and you're paralyzed. Paralysis by analysis. You're overthinking things. And see, when you step into paralysis by analysis, it causes you to become part of the frozen chosen. Some of you are like, amen, that's me right there, I'm amen. See, what we really need is boldness. Boldness to begin the conversation. Just simply to talk about what God has done in your life. Tell them the good news. Tell them about the power that God demonstrated in your life when he saved you. About the love that you felt. About the peace that came in your mind when you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, when you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, first in us and then through us. Just share your story. There was a time after Beth and I had surrendered our life to Jesus when one of Beth's clients came into our salon. By the way, if you didn't know, Beth and I were hairdressers. And we were awesome. And we had a great salon, and we did hair for a lot of years. Matter of fact, I was a fourth generation hairdresser, which is crazy. But we were very successful. One time, Beth was in our salon, and she was doing a friend of hers named Beth. I'm sorry, she was doing a couple of clients here. Let me back up. She was doing a client here, and Beth walked in. A friend of hers walked in, and she was in tears, just crying. And she starts talking to Beth. And so Beth calls me. She says, come over here. And I come over, and we worked back to back in the salon. She was on one side of the building, I was on the other side. And I stop what I'm doing with my client. It was awesome. I'm sure it was an awesome hairdo. And so I walk over to Beth, and I said, what's going on? And she says, Beth has cancer, and we need to pray for her. She has a big tumor in her abdomen area, and we need to pray. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's pray. And so I said, well, listen, we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray in faith. We're going to believe God is going to heal you. But what I want you to do when you leave here, I want you to go to the church, your church, which is right down the road. Go to your church. Go to the elders. And you say, I need you to anoint me with oil and pray that God will heal me. Because that's what the word of God tells us to do. Right? And so she was like, okay. And so we prayed. And I mean, we prayed. And we had a salon full of people and other hairdressers and nail people and all that kind of stuff. We didn't care. We're praying. And so we laid hands on her, and we prayed, and we called down heaven. And we were crying. She was crying. We were crying. It was a big blubbery mess, but we prayed. We prayed bold prayers, and she left. And everybody was like, what just happened? Right? We're not a church. We're in a hair salon. You're not finished with my hair yet, dude. Get back to work, you know? And so we went, and she went. She went to her elders. They prayed, and then a few weeks later, she had surgery. A few months down the road have passed now. We're in there doing hair again. We're doing our thing. And Beth walks in, and I see her, and she's shaking. She's crying. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, no. Cancer thing, you know? And she runs up to Beth, and she says, God healed me. She said, listen, yeah, man. She said, when they went in there to do the surgery, that tumor, that big mass that was in my abdomen shrunk down to the size of a small lemon. The doctor reached in, he pulled it out, sewed me up, and I'm cancer-free. Yeah. And there we were again, praising God and praying and crying right in the salon. And these people didn't know what had happened. And they're looking at us going, what's going on? And our other hairdressers were going, this lady had cancer in God. And they were testifying to the goodness of God in that salon. Fast forward a few years later, she's cancer free. Beth is having a conversation with her. We couldn't remember when the conversation happened this week. Well, we were in Abilene, or we were in Dallas. We were somewhere helping, you know, working at churches or whatever, and we were there. But anyway, she gets a phone call and she says, I can't have children, but I want a child. Would you pray for me? And Beth had just received a call from a family member of ours that said, hey, we have a little girl that got pregnant as a teenager. She wants to give up her child for adoption. And so we were able to connect the two, and Beth this friend of ours adopted this young girl. And this week, I was preparing this message. I said, I want to tell the story. And Beth reminded me of the whole adoption thing. And we went on, and on Facebook, there was this lady, Beth, with this little girl who's a grown teenager now, beautiful as ever. And God said, Eddie, because of your willingness to pray, I was able to heal. And because of your willingness to pray, I was able to restore. And because of your willingness to pray, this young girl, this young little baby, who was born to a young child herself, was able to find a mother and was able to grow. We can't get caught up in fear. That's right. Hey, listen, it's okay to be afraid, but it's not okay to stay afraid. God did not give us a spirit into fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. So we need boldness to fill out the calling that God has called us to. Amen? Hey, listen, it wasn't because of anything that we were barely saved. We had just been saved for a little while. We still had smoke on us probably. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have it all together, I promise you. But we knew we were called, and we just began to walk out that call, and God did some great things. The second thing that we have to deal with is embarrassment. 2 Timothy 1:8 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. See, the context that these believers were living in was tough. Christians were losing their jobs, their homes, their freedoms, their families, and sometimes even their lives because of their commitment to follow Jesus. It would have been very understandable. I would even say that today. It could be very understandable for Timothy or for us to tone it down and to be silent about his faith or our faith. Okay? Because you can just turn on the television and you see believers being persecuted all of the time. Yet Paul was telling Timothy, come on, man, don't go underground. Get on the rooftops and shout. God is good. You have the most important message in the world. How much more is that relevant today in our time? We have the greatest news in the world. We have good news that will transform, literally transform someone's life. We have every reason in the world not to be embarrassed, but to be confident. Because greater he that is in us than he that in the world. Amen? Amen. Third thing, suffering. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Listen, suffering and sacrifice are part of the life we live as followers of Jesus Christ. Think about it, man. Paul is writing this message from prison. He's about to lose his life for his faith, and he reminds Timothy that there are some things in this life that are worth suffering for and maybe even sacrificing, making the ultimate sacrifice, your very life. Sometimes the obstacle is fear. Sometimes it's embarrassment. Sometimes maybe even suffering. But here's what Timothy's reminding Paul. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. You have a holy calling. You're called by God and you have a holy calling. You're called by God to live a life of purity and humility, to live free from the bondage of sin, full of the power of the Holy Spirit with the fruit to prove it. Now listen, I'm not going to presume to know exactly what God wants to accomplish through your life. But what I do know is that you're going to have to overcome these three obstacles to see that all God has purposed for you realized. You're going to have to overcome fear, overcome it. You're going to have to overcome embarrassment, get over it, and be bold. And maybe you're going to have to overcome some suffering or some persecution. Let me finish up right here with Paul giving us three examples of what it means to faithfully live out our calling. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 says, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, but his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And it's a hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I says, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. The three images of the calling are a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Paul is telling Timothy, the calling that God has placed on your life can be seen through these three examples. First and foremost, a soldier. Single-minded focus. We can't get distracted. We can't get sidetracked. We can't get sidelined because being a soldier requires a serious commitment. Amen? I shared last week when Pastor Richard was here, in this season, we're to lean forward and be prepared to contend for the promises that God has for us. We're in a spiritual battle, and the battle has eternal consequences. We can't get sidetracked. We have to stay focused on what God has called us to. An athlete, don't cut corners. We need complete integrity and character. Paul is reminding Timothy that it's not just a sports that athletes cut the corner. It happens in life as well. If we want to be vessels that God uses for his glory, then character and integrity matter. We compete according to the rules. And according to God's word, when we play by the rules, we win every single time. Finally, a farmer. Hard work and dedication. In the panhandle of Texas where I grew up, and I know it's even similar here, there are a lot of farming communities. And no matter what the job was for that farmer, they got up before dawn, they worked late at night, and they did it every single day. They worked hard. Paul is saying to Timothy, and by extension to you and I, that no matter what our calling in the kingdom is, approach that calling with the hard work and the dedication of a farmer. Listen, when we do that, then just like that farmer who gets to enjoy the food that he helped to grow, or gets to reap the benefits of the cow that he helped to raise, we too get to enjoy the fruit of the work that God has called us to in his kingdom. We get to enjoy the fruit of praying with people in need and then watching God respond. We get to enjoy we get to have the joy of introducing someone to Jesus Christ and watching them receive salvation. We get to disciple others as we're discipled, helping them grow in their faith. And we get the joy of seeing lives and families transformed by the grace and by the mercy of God. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't give up. Sometimes we're going to have to turn over that ground, that fallow ground. We're going to have to till it. We're going to have to work it. Then we're going to sow that seed. Then we're going to water that seed in prayer. But if we don't give up, we're going to see the fruit of that harvest rise up before our very eyes. Because one, we're called to a holy calling. Amen? Power, love, and a sound mind. No fear, no more fear. Boldness, no more embarrassment. Be confident and share your story. And suffering, if necessary, to fulfill that calling. Amen? Stand up with me if you would, please. This week, as I was preparing this message, I felt like God wanted me to ask you guys to take a step of faith. And for some of you here, it may be, a literal step of faith. You're going to say, today I choose to put my faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time. Or maybe you say, today is a day that I want to come back to the Lord. I knew him and I followed him once, but I've kind of let that flame go cold and I'm no longer following God. But today is a day that you want to step back into his grace and his mercy and follow after God. But here's the step of faith that I want you to take. If that's you, or you say, you know what? Today I receive that I am called. And I recognize in my life that ember has kind of died down a little bit. But by faith, I'm going to step out today. I'm going to step in faith, and I'm going to begin to fan into flame that fire again. If that's you, would you please come forward? Right up here, just right to the front. We're not going to draw blood or anything. We just want you to come forward, and I want to pray with you. Come on. All right, buddy. Yeah, the man. Right here. Anybody else? Come on, right here. Right to the front. You're going to believe God is going to, and you're going to partner with God to fan into flame that thing that God has for you. Anyone else? Awesome. Right here, come closer here. I want you to do me a favor, stay right there. Extend your hands to my brother here. I want to have some leaders. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. Clint. Yeah, there you go. Come on, Pastor Mike. Awesome. Father God, thank you so much for the strength and the courage of my young brother right here, Lord God, who is stepping out in faith, taking a physical step in faith. And for my sister to come up right here. Come on, we'll get somebody over here to pray for her. There you go, Sarah. Thank you so much. Thank you for my sisters here, Lord God, my brother here, Lord God, who's stepping out in faith to say, Lord God, fan into flame. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying over you, fan into flame the gift of God and the calling of God on your life. That he would save you, that he would heal you, that he would restore you, Lord God. And would restore them, Lord God, and they would become your disciples. They would share their story. No more fear. No more embarrassment, Lord God. None of those things. In Jesus' name, Lord God, you would give them a boldness. You would give them a faith, Lord God, to pursue that holy calling that you've placed on their life. Just raise your hands with me if you're there. All of you around, just raise your hands to the Lord. Father God, for each one of us here, Lord God, would you continue to remind us to fan into flame the gifts and calling that you've placed on our lives, Lord God. That today we remind us that you who have called us are faithful, Lord God. You are faithful to complete and accomplish that task, that calling that you set in our lives, Lord God. You are so good, Lord God. You are so good, Father God. We thank you and we give you praise, Lord God. And everybody said amen. Let's worship the Lord this morning.